Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, Sag Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Let it be known that Crap Sheet Audio was playing to kick off this Patriots Friday, and one of the two hosts here in the studio complained about it, and it was not his longtime foe, Andy Hart. Nick Fitzy-Stevens didn't care to hear from the Crap Sheet early in WEIF.
Straight up, I just leaned over to Andy right before that finished and said, is there any chance we could not open with Crap Sheet anymore? Because this guy's boring.
He is, but
he could even make fireworks sound anticlimactic.
Well, he did. He is talented at talking out of both sides of his mouth, because he said all signs are pointing towards Joe Burrow playing on Sunday for Cincinnati. That doesn't mean he's going to play. And it was like, wait, what?
Why'd you say anything?
Because they said we need 38 seconds on it.
All signs are pointing to Joe Burrow playing this Sunday in Cincinnati. Is that football, Joe? I didn't say that.
First of all, we do need to clarify, because I don't know that people realize this. He is not technically on their roster, has not yet been activated off of IR. They have until, I believe, 4 p.m. tomorrow, Saturday, technically do that.
They may have to IR somebody, and I know we'll get the straight, fresh cut word when our old pal, EEI legend, Trags calls in about 40 minutes. They may have to IR somebody like Samaje Perine. Last time, fun little fact, last time that a Mike Vrabel team played the Bengals, it was a couple years ago, the Titans, and all three touchdowns were scored by Samaje Perine.
Okay, well, that's not going to happen this week.
No, it is not.
They're going to score three.
Are you kidding?
No.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow, I love the fact that it's 2:05, and we all see this game quite differently.
Yes, and it is interesting. Obviously, we're going to talk about this Joe Burrow injury situation. He's practicing fully. If you've been watching some of the clips on NFL Network or ESPN, he does look good. He does look like he's recovered. You know, we have some Zach Taylor audio that also sort of talks out of both sides of his mouth. But as Fitzy alluded to, we have a packed show today. Around 2:15, we'll have our weekly chat with Jeremy Springer, one of the Patriots coordinators. I wanted to crowdsource it this week, too. So, I'm asking you to help do our job. If you have any questions for the Patriots special teams coordinator, send them now via text 617-779-7937. Anything on your mind for the self-proclaimed fastest coach on the Patriots coaching staff?
Should we ask one of our producers extraordinaire if they would, like, sift through and divine
sure.
the best?
Sure.
Dan, are you up to the... Of course you are.
You can...
You want to pick the best Jeremy Springer question or two from the crowd?
Sure. Yeah.
Crowdsourcing
no
our chat with the coordinator. As Fitzy said, 2:45, we'll talk to Trags, Mike Petralia, who worked here in Boston for a long time, now is covering the Bengals and the Reds for CLNS down there. And then at 3:30, Mike Giardi will be back in the mix on a Friday afternoon. We're locked and loaded. And a very, very, very special guest at 4:45. That would be one Brian Ferzocco, our Twitch camera operator, behind the glass fellow NBA guy, making his on-air debut.
Whoa, hold on. Don't break all the Nielsen meters at once by telling everybody Ferzocco's got his own segment.
Basketball boy is going to bring it to the air.
Basketball
We're not talking Bears.
Boy.
We're not talking Bears. We don't give a rat's ass about Chicago and their football team.
They're the NFC North leaders.
Don't care.
Boston. And he's frustrated with you guys, too, so he's not coming in to play
Whoa.
Nice either.
Oh,
why is he frustrated with us? Because we gave him a segment in Market 10 on a Friday at 4:45?
I don't know. You'll have to find out at 4:45. I'm not at liberty to say.
Hold on a second. Hey, Siri, remind me not to care at 4:45.
So we
reminder said thank you.
We're leading things off with this question about Joe Burrow. Is he going to play? Do you think he'll play? Does it matter? Does it change the outcome of the game? You heard Crap Sheet say it takes a good game and makes it a really good game, or however he described it. I don't believe Joe Burrow's playing. I think Joe Burrow is practicing because he's going to play on Thursday night. And when you play on Thursday night, you don't practice during the week. So if he was going to practice fully, it had to take place this week in preparation for Thanksgiving night against the division rival Ravens. I don't think they're going to put him out there. I think they're going to be cautious and take another week, because I also don't think they probably want to play him twice in a five-day span, Sunday into Thursday. So are you going to play him against the Patriots and then rest him against the – To me, all signs point in my head, logically, to he plays against the Ravens on Thanksgiving.
Well, that was already like kind of a misnomer there, because you said it was in your head and logic.
And it's Friday, so baby, my head is focused on the weekend.
It's elsewhere. All right, let's go around the room. Let's make sure we get everyone on the record. Ted's in at three. We'll get his vote then. I say Burrow is playing. I believe Joe Burrow, gamer that he is, feels well enough to get out there. He understands the risk that he's undertaking playing Sunday, which is ahead of timeline, ahead of schedule, and still having to come back on a short turnaround Thursday. This guy is a savage. This guy's a gamer. He's a freak show. He is also an absolute living legend. He doesn't talk to anybody on Saturdays because he gets so fired up. He's ready, and I think he's going to make it a hell of a game on Sunday. I cannot wait for the gridiron theatra. Dan Ball, is he playing or not?
I'm going to go no. I don't think he is. I think with the short turnaround, I don't think it necessarily behooves the Bengals to play him in a game that I don't think their defense can handle to begin with. So they have until Saturday at 4 o'clock, as your guy Trags tweeted, in order to activate him from IR. I think they opt not to do it, and he plays in the short week next week.
You've trained him well, Andy.
In the ever-important opinion, Stiz, is Joe Burrow playing? Do you know who that is?
Yes, I do. I think he is. I think these guys are super competitive. And if I'm Joe Burrow, I'm like, oh, this is the new NFL darling. This is who everyone's talking about. Let me come back and show these guys who's really boss. 100% he's playing.
And then Zach Taylor goes, you know, Chase isn't playing, right? Your best receiver. So you showing off is not going to be quite as easy without your best receiver.
Bengals.com beat writer Jeff Hobson, also Framingham native, joined us on Six Rings this morning. He said T. Higgins is a number one and almost just as every bit as good, and the Bengals are 3-2 when Ja'Marr Chase doesn't play and Burrow does.
You don't have to convince me that T. Higgins is a number one. Lived the life of like 3 years where I wanted the Patriots to go get T. Higgins to be their number one.
He's super good.
He is very good. If you listen to yesterday's press conference, Zach Kaur, Patriots hardcore defensive coordinator, he also believes T. Higgins is a number one.
He's not wrong.
He raved about, he said, don't look at his 40 time. Watch him run. And he said, unlike others, he does not break stride to catch the football, whether it's slants or different things. He's actually accelerating as he catches the football. And that's a guy that's averaging, I think, 16 yards a catch this season, which is no Stanley Morgan.
But you stole the reference right out my mouth.
Pretty damn good in this day and age. Not a lot of guys average more than that.
It's very funny, too, because they're so different, Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins. T. Higgins, like you said, doesn't break stride, very long, and just like can somehow use the super arms and legs to accelerate, get the ball, extend, make plays. Ja'Marr Chase, I've talked about this before, too. I've never seen a receiver that can stutter, step, sideways, start, stop. Like, he accelerates his 0 to 60. Like, he's a special talent as well. But T. Higgins will even give a guy like Gonzo fits.
508 chimes in. Burrow, all caps, definitely playing. Since he needs to win out, 31-28 Bengals.
Oh!
Upset alert. So I think this is it's kind of crazy to me how this came about, because I think everybody entered the week with no thought that Burrow was playing.
Oh,
and then he practiced.
10-point win or greater.
It's like, oh, he's practicing. But yeah, I'm sure that's nothing, right? And then the next day, oh, he's still practicing, and Flacco isn't really practicing. He's banged up. Maybe Burrow is going to play. And now I think a lot of people have convinced themselves that Burrow is playing. We also have the 207. Burrow does not need Chase to be great.
Burrow,
I didn't say
dose.
That. I try to clean him up for them. I didn't say he needs him to be great. You don't have to convince me. I'm a Joe Burrow fan from way back.
Does your kid in the Arsenal or fleet of jerseys, does he have an ice Burrow?
Yes, he does.
Aww.
Absolutely.
Nice.
But yeah, I'm a Burrow fan from way back. I just think for this game, and you and I have talked about this, if you have Chase and Higgins, you then say, well, somebody is going to be covered by Carlton Davis, who we've questioned his job and the way he's done his job this year. If you just have Higgins, mm-hmm. and there are other guys, I don't want to dismiss all of them, but there's a drop off.
Well, you've
clearly
got Noah Fant, your pal Mike Gesicki,
Iovella,
Yoshivas,
that thing.
Yep,
I don't.
And also
saying that again.
Chase Brown, excellent
yes.
running back, great,
but
good
not
hands out of the backfield.
Not going to kill me. I don't feel like going to kill me. And maybe they use T. Higgins in a way that Drake London was used, right? Maybe they get him in matchups, because if T. Higgins is in a matchup with our guy, love him, mean it, Marcus mm-hmm. Jones, but if it's T. Higgins, Marcus Jones, I believe we actually lived that a couple years ago December when he big brothered him a little bit.
Oh, he ate his lunch right in front of him for entire first half.
Bad matchup.
But then who had the pick in the second half that brought the Patriots back to within one?
Another Patriot.
And then, no, it was Marcus Jones.
I have no idea.
And then who fumbled with a minute left and the Pats should have won?
Why are we doing trivia early in the show?
It was Ramondre, and he's returning Sunday. You forget these. Well, that's why you've got me here as your living Gemini.
So, Joe Burrow, does he scare you, Patriots fans? If he's out there, we've already got people chiming in that he's the difference maker. He doesn't need Chase. He is the difference maker. Our guy, Ted Johnson, wanted to point out that, yes, Joe Burrow is 2-0 for the Bengals this year. Started the first two games of the year. He won at Cleveland 17-16.
What a barn burner.
When he completed 60.9% of his passes, not nice, I said 60.9. He had one touchdown. He was sacked three times, only threw for 113 yards in the victory, the one-point victory. The next week, played Jacksonville. They won 31-27. He didn't play the whole game. He completed 7 of 13 passes for 76 yards. So this season, Joe Burrow has thrown two touchdown passes in two games, and he's thrown for 189 yards. He's completed 58% of his passes. That was to start the year when they were winning. They won two games.
That's like a good half for Drake May.
Is he going to be rusty? Let's say he plays. Okay, I'll play along with you. You think he's going to play?
Yeah.
Is he not going to be a little rusty?
Sure.
Do we think that Joe, you know what could be the answer to the Patriots giving up a touchdown every time the other team has the ball first in the game and marches down the field? Maybe
starting
facing
Flacco?
A quarterback. No, maybe facing a quarterback who hasn't played in 2.5 months.
Sure.
Maybe a guy who hasn't played real big boy football.
And watch him come out, carve them up like the turkey you'll be serving at 4 o'clock on Thursday.
I don't rule it out. But I do think this does. The one thing I'll agree with Crapsheet on, and I rarely agree with Crapsheet, is that it adds a buzz to the game. It's added a buzz to the late week buildup to the game, and we'll have a buzz right up until and through tomorrow if they activate him at 4 o'clock. Now, if they don't activate him, then there's nothing to talk about. You're going to see Flacco, and you're going to see, you know.
And all of a sudden, if you hear it 11:25 on Sunday, right before the, like, Pelissero does a hit on NFL Network, like, guys, the inactives will be coming out soon. Just wanted to let everyone know, breaking here in Cincinnati, Joe Burrow did practice, ramping up for Thursday. Big and an AFC North showdown, and you already know what it's going to be like. Oh, he's not playing today? Well, what the hell?
Yeah. So, but he's a star. Like, you mentioned it. It's not just that he's good.
He's a star.
He's a star. He brings a star power to this game that is lacking, right? The Patriots, if Joe Burrow doesn't play, the Patriots are expected to go out and win this game pretty easily, control it, add to their lead in the AFC East because the Bills lose last night. Josh Allen got his butt whooped. Like, there's no real...
How about that pass rush?
There's no real angst in this game.
Is Deion Dawkins doing his best Mike on Wenu impersonation?
I don't know. Is he?
He didn't look...
He's kind of fat.
He didn't...
He takes up a lot of room in that blue tent when he goes in there. I think we're going to need a bigger tent.
I wouldn't want to be in the stall next to him, but more importantly, to the point, if Flacco starts... Now, Flacco, 12 touchdowns, 2 picks so far, starting for the Bengals, and they had the number one passing offense in the NFL over the last month and a half up till last week. They kind of sputtered a little bit against Pittsburgh. It still does not make for a sexy matchup.
617-779-7937. The 207 says Rusty Joe Burrow is still a top five QB. That's all caps. And we're going to work in some phone calls early here since we are loaded with guests. Let's go to the phone lines as we wait for Jeremy Springer. Let's see Curtis in Greenfield. What's up, Curtis?
Hey, I think this will be a great test for Drake May versus Burrows because neither of them has Jamar Chase. More of an even playing field.
All right. Thanks for the call, Curtis.
It's such a dad thing, by the way, to say. It's Burrows. All the dads out there say Burrows.
And it's Mike McDaniels, but it's Josh McDaniel. Nope, you did the S wrong in both those names. We tend to do that. It's okay.
So neither guy has Jamar Chase. Okay.
Most teams don't have Jamar Chase. The only team that really has Jamar Chase is the Vikings because they have Justin Jefferson. Like, he's one of the top three or four receivers in all of football. He has been for a couple years now.
And Jackson, Smith, and Jigba
Is T. Higgins better than anything the Patriots have?
Yes.
Okay, I would agree. I think T. Higgins is still a number one receiver, even though he's their number two.
Chase Brown might give you the nice thing about Chase Brown, he gives you a little Mondre and a little Travion.
Yeah, no, he's a good player. They have talent.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that go from work days to weekends and everywhere in between. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. With 25 sizes, 5 lengths, and 6 denim brands, you've got options. And fit experts in every store to make jean shopping easier. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
On that offense, it's not just all Ja'Marr Chase, but put a pin in that. We'll get back to Joe Burrow and the Bengals offense and the Bengals offense with or without Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase. But let's go to the guest line where we're joined, as we are each and every Patriots Friday, by a Patriots coordinator. This week it is Jeremy Springer, special teams coordinator, brought to you by McFarland Energy, the region's most dependable provider of home heating oil delivery, as well as expert HVAC services at McFarlandEnergy.com, by Pepsi, the official soft drink of the New England Patriots, and by Cape Cod Lumber, your local TimberTech supplier, number one in premium decking. Coach Springer, how are we doing this week?
I'm doing great, man. How about yourself?
We're good. I want to start with you. I wasn't in the room yesterday, but on social media, it seemed like there was a little bragging going on with you that you're the fastest coach on the Patriots coaching staff. Is that true?
Someone asked me that. It was such a random question. I was like, I didn't know how to answer it, but I was like, you know what? Yeah, I'll just run with it. Hell yeah, I can run. So you know what? Maybe I am.
Okay, so
I'm sure Braves can still run pretty fast.
Okay, that was the first one I thought of, and we all saw him running in Miami alongside the return. He was moving pretty good for a 50-year-old. Who else would you handicap? I know there's some young coaching assistants and different guys. If you had to say the top three maybe fastest coaches, you can put yourself in there. Who else?
I would say Thomas Brown. He's, you know, he played running back at Georgia. He's still got it. And then Chucky Keaton can still run. You know, he's on the offensive side of the ball. And then I say Kevin Richardson, who played DB at Arkansas. He can still move pretty well. So those are my top three.
Yeah, I'm not sure I like your chances. They sound fast.
Yeah, they sound very fast.
I played linebacker at UTEP. I was A to A gap. I got guys lined up. That's all I did.
Oh,
that was my
job.
Uh-oh. Guys lined up.
We've also seen the pep in your step on the field. Like, you literally can never stop moving. It's like you have caffeinated gum in 24-7. So I still got my money on you, Jeremy.
You know, we as coaches, we're always sitting down. Everyone thinks we're always standing up, moving around, but most of our day we're spent sitting down and watching film. So I love when I'm outside, I get the chance to move around, burn some calories. Mm-hmm. So it's my opportunity.
So you've had a little time, obviously, to process. Now we're obviously on to Cincinnati 2 days away, but with the extra time to reflect on the Jets game, how do you guys think that you did, and what could you coach up or improve upon from the AFC East showdown a little over a week ago?
You know, I thought we covered well. That was a big emphasis for us in that game versus a very good return team in the Jets. They had really good dynamic kickoff returner and a punt returner. They still do. And I thought our guys, you know, owned up to that. We had some guys had to step in for some injuries, and we did a really good job of that. And I always continue to think of ways in the return game in which we can be a little more explosive. You know, how we block our guys, how we're teaching it, how we're coaching it. Just to get a little more space, because it's hard to get big returns on kickoff return right now, but there is plays to be made. So for us, it's like taking advantage of those opportunities when we get them and make sure we can create X plays in the return game, and then continue to find ways, you know, when we get punt returns and get quality ones, how can we get Marcus Jones loose, man? That's always going to be a big key because he's such a vital part of what we do. And when he's doing good, that means we're winning games. So that's always a thing to look back and try to reflect on.
You mentioned chasing the big plays in kickoff return. We had one last night, which was maybe an aberration. Wow. The guy kind of ran into his own blocker's back, spun off, and kept right on going. But when you see one of those, do you, like, really go through it with a fine-tooth comb and see what they were able to do to get that guy that opportunity? Is that part of that pursuit?
That's what we do every Monday. Me and my assistant, we're going to watch all the kickoff returns around the league and just kind of get a sense of what teams are doing. On the big plays, is it more of the kickoff return team or is it more of the kickoff team doing missing tackles, getting out of their lanes, things like that. So that's an ongoing thing. Like you saw last night, it was missed tackles, and that's why you like big bodies back there sometimes, because those guys can break their arm tackles and the bat, and then they can keep running. That's why running back has become a vital position really in the back end if you can use that guy.
Jeremy, do you feel like now that the dynamic kickoff has been part of the NFL for a couple of years, and I think it's going to stick around for a while, that it's had a positive effect on offense in the NFL or a negative effect or, you know, just the overall effect it's had and how much more impact you guys now have on the game?
I think it's a positive, in fact, because, again, the drive starts is past the 30-yard line right now, and really you can – if you're really good on kickoff return, you can get some of those to 35, and if you hit a touchback because of the wind, especially where we're at, right, when it gets windy now, like a lot of these kicks sometimes you're trying not to – you keep in the field of play, but it hits in the end zone, you're like, damn it, now you're pissed because the ball's going to the 35-yard line. And for a guy like Drake May or any of these good quarterbacks around the league, all good offenses, like – you know, two first downs, three first downs, you're already in scoring range. And on top of that, if you stall out after two first downs, you're putting the ball, and now you're able to flip the field because you're putting the ball from the 45-yard line and you're pinning them inside the 20 or inside the 15. So I think at the end of the day, it's a positive impact, and it's making our game on our phase and special teams a little more impactful, which is good. And as you see, as this season progresses now and it gets colder and windier and the ball's, you know, harder – you know, this kickoff return stuff is going to become pretty important. And then injuries come, and you're putting new guys in there. So it's going to be interesting to see how it plays out the last few weeks of the season into the playoffs.
Patriots special teams coordinator Jeremy Springer here on a Patriots Friday on WEEI Afternoons. And you just mentioned it later in the year. You even said against the Jets had some guys worked in there. What are the challenges of that? Because, I mean, sometimes I'm assuming you get guys called up from the practice squad, new faces. You haven't done a lot of work with them. What are the challenges over the course of the week bringing in new guys to roles in what is already a chaotic part of the game?
Yeah, I mean, that's just the nature of special teams, especially in the NFL. It's going to happen. It's only a 48-man roster. If one guy goes down, it's going to affect you on special teams. You just got to stay ready. You got to make sure that at the end of the day, that the fundamentals are good. You're not doing too much to be too crazy on special teams, trying to make sure you're sound. And that we're always, you know, Vrabel talks about it all the time, but we're playing to our identity. So whoever steps in is we're going to play to our identity. If we do those things, we'll help our team win games. And it's always a puzzle piece. It's always new things, always something happening. But hey, man, we're 1-32, right? So the other 31 teams are going right through like we are. So it's not like we're the only ones doing it. So you got to just play to our identity and go out there and have fun and go execute on game day.
I'm sure you saw this, but Cameron Little, the place kicker for the Jacksonville Jaguars, about 2 weeks ago, I believe, set a new NFL record for field goal distance, 68 yards. And it's funny how just, you know, 65 yarders by Chase McLaughlin, no big deal. Anyway, if pressed into duty, if you had to call upon him, do you think Borregales has 69 in him?
69 yards? Well, you got to remember that Cameron Little, damn good kicker, by the way, he was in Vegas when he kicked that, right? So you're at elevation. So that always helps a lot right there. So
and indoors.
Man, I'm always indoors. I'm always going to ride with my guy. Put it at 70 yards. Let's go, Andy. Get back there and let's go hit it, man. Especially if we're in Vegas right now, let's go. Let's go do it. Maybe if it's a 40-mile-per-hour gust here in New England, it might be a little different, but if it's at our back, let's go. But I'm always going to put trust in our guy. If we got our guy, we're gonna rock with him.
So I think I asked you this, but I have a terrible memory, so just answer it again, please, if you would be.
Yes, sir.
I've heard a lot of bitching by some people, old school people, about field goals, the long field goals. It's because of the kicking balls, and it's kind of making a mockery of the game, and there's going to be 70-something yard field goals. what are your thoughts on the kicking balls, what they're allowed to do to prep them now, and is it a good/bad thing for the game of football?
I think it's a great thing for the game of football. I mean, at the end of the day, points are points are what puts people in the seats, right? Like, that's why the NFL, you know, we want points on the board. So the more exciting kicks you have, the more points you get on the board, the better. And I think with these guys having the balls all week, they're getting used to the football. But at the end of the day, man, it's still the snap, the hold, the kick, the weather, everything has to come to play for you to make the kick. But kickers, people understand this, like 20 years ago, kickers were playing quarterback or they're playing safety in high school and college. Then they became kickers in college. Now these guys are specialized kickers. They've been kicking their entire life since they were kids, going to camps and kicking. So the game of football in terms of the kicker, they become so much better because of that. It's not because it's always the football and things like that. They're specialized in that position. That's what they've been doing their whole life. So they're much better kickers nowadays because of it. The same thing with quarterbacks, same thing with all the other positions. Like, they're a lot more better athletes because they've been training since they were little kids. And it's just a different way the game is played now, the way it's advertised. And that's why I think kickers are better and positions are better, period.
All right, so we all wait for the answer to the million-dollar question, will Joe Burrow play or will he not play on Sunday, which I'm sure could affect a lot of things as far as Bengals-Pats goes. Curious what you see in Cincinnati, what kind of challenges they present, and what do they do that's going to stress your units on Sunday?
Yeah, so, you know, their special teams coordinator, Darren Simmons, has been he's been the special teams coordinator there for 23 years, right? He's the longest tenured assistant coach in the NFL. He's been at one spot for 23 years. So you can say, I don't care who you are, if you've been somewhere for 23 years, it means you're probably pretty consistent in what you do and you're pretty good at what you do. So he does a great job with his personnel. They're always going to be fast. They're always going to be, you know, lined up where they need to be and do the right thing. They're not what I would say. They're going to do a bunch of stuff. They're going to do what they do and do it very well. They got good specialists. Evan McPherson's a very good kicker. He's done a good job throughout his career since he's been there. They got a big-time punter, man, who can punt the ball 70 yards, flip the field. They got a dynamic returner who's got 3 touchdowns in the last 21 games of his career, 1 on punt return, 2 on kickoff return. He got one last year, and he had one against Chicago about 3 weeks ago. Wow. You know, he's a fast receiver, he's a 21-mile-per-hour guy. So they got a lot of things that they do well on special teams. That's my phase. That's what I'm worried about. And, you know, we got to do everything we can to take away some of those explosive plays and play penalty-free and get the ball back to Drake May and possess the ball and, you know, help our defense out, set up long fields for those guys. And if we do those things right there, we'll help those guys and do our job.
You mentioned the overall operation on field goals and kicks. We talk about the kicker, Andy Borregaus. He's a rookie. You got Julian Ashby, a rookie. You got a young punter who's the holder. And we all know those guys spend a ton of time together specializing their craft, all these reps, doing all. Like, what's that group like? What's the personality of that group? How do they mesh? How have they come together?
Okay, so this is what you got. So you got Bryce Behringer, our punter, who's kind of like an old soul. You know, he's married, he's young, but he's already married, he's got a dog, he does housework. You know, he's just kind of boring, to be honest with you, but a great guy. I love Bryce. I mean, he's a boring kind of dad life already.
You got a lot of grandpas on the team. Drake said that about himself as well. He goes to bed at like 8.
Yeah, he's like boring. Like, to me, I was running the streets at his age, man. He's not running the streets, but he's perfecting his craft. He's doing the right things. He's always working his ass off to get better at his position and take care of his body, which I love. Then you got Ashby, who's kind of a nerd, never watched like the real movies like Old School and Dodgeball and Bad Boys. So we're trying to get him a little more cultured in terms of just being a little loose. He's a little uptight, you know, Vanderbilt Furman guy. You know, he likes Harry Potter, right? So like, he's a little nerdy in that sense. But we're trying to open him up to be a little more, you know, cultured at the end of the day. Then you got Andy Borregaus, who's cultured. You know, he's laid back. You know, if a gun went off in the building, he'd probably be like, what's going on? He'd be this last one to get out the building. He's a little laid back. Nothing fazes him. You know, that's the thing about him. He missed a kick. He's like, all right, I missed a kick, but, you know, I know what I did wrong. He'll come back and hit again. So the moment's never too big for him. They're all so different in their own way, but they all mesh really well, and they work well together. But they're all so different. And honestly, I'm probably more like Andy Borregaus in terms of laid back, but I'm not the old school minded or old man minded like Bryce is. I still like think I can run the streets. And then my boy from Vanderbilt, you know, he's nerdy, but I'm trying to help him out. And I make him watch. I think last week he had to watch Old School and Wedding Crashers.
Nice.
This week he's having to watch. He's had to watch. How was the movie called? Can't remember the name. Not Step Brothers. We have Step Brothers on deck. but dodgeball and then something else. I can't remember, but we're trying 40, to get him, we're trying to get him right.
Talladega Nights, 40-year-old virgin.
Anchorman. What's the one with Mark Wahlberg and
the other guys. Yeah, yes, that's the reason why I work at Bed Bath & Beyond, to send my son to NYU to be a DJ. Don't go chasing waterfalls, Jeremy. That's a great movie.
Dude, I'm telling you, bro, we're trying to get him on it. And actually, Coach Vrabel made him watch The Town last week as well.
Oh.
So, because he had never seen The Town. Which is obviously, you got to watch that if you're living in Boston.
Yeah, I mean, that's why whenever your unit takes the field, you can just say, okay, whose car are we taking? All right, last one from me. Coming up, big holiday. Obviously, hopefully you guys fly home on the wings of victory, and then you guys have one extra day before the Giants game.
Uh-huh.
You big Thanksgiving guy, and if you were to run to the table, what side hits your plate first?
I am not. You know, I was a big Thanksgiving guy until I got into the NFL, just because we play on. You know, we practice on these days and we're working. But my first thing that I always get is the rolls. Like, if we got rolls on the table, I'm going to get the Pillsbury Doughboy rolls, and I'm going to eat those up. And after that, I'm going to do a little bit of apple pie with some ice cream. Let it eat.
Big carb, guys.
Just like that.
Fuels the energy. I like it.
Yeah, you know, selfish. It's selfish Thursday. You know, what basically is to treat myself, so I'll be a little selfish with my body.
All right, the last question comes from the text line. They said you gave the fastest coaches. They want to know who the slowest coach is, and the texter is betting it's Josh McDaniels and that he runs funny.
I would say the slowest coach on staff, man. That's a good one. You know, only because of age, I would say Doug Marrone. He's an online guy. He's a little old, but he still can move around a little bit. But I would say probably Doug Marrone's the slowest guy.
That would have been my guess, too. Jeremy, we appreciate you joining us. Great interview. Great insight into your trio of kicking game players. And good luck in Cincinnati. We'll talk to you in a couple weeks.
I appreciate you guys, man. Have a great rest of your day and weekend.
Happy Thanksgiving.
And happy Thanksgiving, buddy.
Honestly, I'm probably more like Andy Borgalis in terms of laid back, but I'm not the old school minded, old man minded like Bryce is. I still like to think I can run the streets. And then my boy from Vanderbilt, you know, he's nerdy, but I'm trying to help him out. And I make him watch, I think last week he had to watch Old School and Wedding Crashers.
That was Jeremy Springer, who seems to kind of think everybody's nerdy, or at least a number of his players and people around him.
I completely blew the opportunity to throw in a Wedding Crashers reference. Who's the Sack Lodge of his special teams unit? That's Bradley.
You know, we talked to him again.
Yeah, in 2 weeks.
Put that in the back pocket.
Got it.
A couple weeks from now, maybe right, 3 weeks, because Thanksgiving
week. So no coordinator next Friday. McDaniels after that.
Boom. Genius Josh McDaniels that, and then boom, back to Jeremy Springer.
Hey, friend, how are you?
That was a fun interview, though. Like,
he's the best. The text line and the Twitch stream are like, have this guy on all the time.
And not easy to appease those people. And I don't mean to offend you people down there in the Twitch chat that I'm looking at. But
no, it's not.
You guys can be kind of critical and kind of mean sometimes, and y'all seem to like Jeremy Springer. So good for him. Apparently he's doing something right. 617-779-7937. Let's get to the phone lines. Hey, this Andrew's going to go to this Andrew in Portland. What's up, Andrew?
Hey, what's up, man? Not much. I think you've really buried the lead today. I was so excited for 2 o'clock because I really wanted to hear some like Andy Hart versus Stephen A. Smith SmackDown immediately.
Oh, us too.
Okay, Andrew. Well, we did that yesterday at 2 o'clock, so if you want to go back on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts and listen to the first couple hours and really most of the show yesterday.
I was going
to
say the 2 o'clock, the 3 o'clock, the 4 o'clock, the 5 o'clock
Don't forget
hour.
About the drive at 5.
Absolutely, the Arcan 6 o'clock post show where he ripped them on your behalf.
And if you can only do one segment, I think it's probably the 2:30 segment where we really started to parse the words of Stephen A. Smith.
Yeah, and where you got litigious with it.
Well, he called him a liar. He called him a flat-out liar. I got defensive on behalf of Drake May and the quarterback. So, yes, I hammered the hell out of Stephen A. yesterday in the 4 hours that we had. So go back on the Odyssey app, wherever you get your podcast, WEEI Afternoons, and enjoy that. Up next here on WEEI Afternoons, we're going to go to Cincinnati on the phone lines to talk to Mike Petralia. Trags is going to tell us about Joe Burrow and everything Bengals. That's
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that go from work days to weekends and everywhere in between. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. With 25 sizes, 5 lengths, and 6 denim brands, you've got options. And fit experts in every store to make jean shopping easier. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Next here on WEEI. Back here on WEEI Afternoons on a Patriots Friday in our Brighton studios, powered by Verizon. I want to thank Jeremy Springer once again for a not surprising but always appreciated energetic and fun interview in our weekly coordinator chat from Foxborough.
I would dare say lively.
Yeah. No, he's fun. That's a guy that just, I mean, you never really know. But it seems like he would be fun to be around as a player. That's the guy you have to be in meetings with and different things that, you know, assigning you to watch old school because you're not cultured enough and things of that nature. He seems like he would be, and as a coworker, I bet you the other coaches like working around him because he seems like he's going to bring energy and a smile and like a happy-go-lucky attitude. He's kind of like a golden retriever or something. Like, everybody's going to be happy when they're around Jeremy Springer because he's that kind of personality. And the Patriots special teams, I think he's been pretty good. I mean, certainly Borregaalis has settled in. I'll be honest with you. I can't think of an issue with Julian Ashby, the rookie long snapper.
Seems to have done a fine job this year.
Those are the guys that as long as you don't even know their name or talk about them, means they're doing a good job.
Yes.
Until you do a snow angel in a big game and then you become famous like Lonnie Paxton. Other than that, you want to fly way under the radar.
Yeah, you don't want anyone mentioning your name. You want zero press in the area as well.
We do have some, as we await Trags, we do have some injury update news here on Jelani Tavai, not injury related, and Ramondre Stevenson from the lips of the head coach, Mike Vrabel, down in Foxborough.
The only injury, no injury update. The only update for the game, Jelani Tavai will be out for the game. That'll be non-injury related. That'll be all that I'll talk about it at this time. So that's the only update I have for you. There wasn't many restrictions and that he responded well to the practice. And I would say that as long as we're not any setbacks here, that he'd be in line to play.
So that latter part, in case you didn't figure it out, was Ramondre Stevenson. The only guy listed on the injury report. He was limited. And Mike Vrabel said, barring any setbacks, you're going to get your number one running back on the field, I said, with a question mark.
But you can run up, down, and all over the Cincinnati Bengals, or so I believe. So a Mondre-Travion combo Sunday should be pretty dynamic.
All right, let's go to the guest line. As promised, former pal of WEEI, Mike Petralia, Trags, as he's known, down in CLNS land in Cincinnati. Trags, how we doing?
Let's see, I have it on good authority that your son, Thomas, is indeed the man.
Trags, you nailed it, man. I love that you got the good intel.
I was hoping I would.
What's up, buddy? It's great to hear from you. Thanks for joining us for a little intel behind enemy lines.
Yeah, well, it is my pleasure. It is always great to be on with you guys and always great to be on in the market that I spent 27 years covering and did so with great passion and great love. How's that?
That's great. Now let's stop beating around the bush. Is Joe Burrow playing?
So, is Andy, is that you?
Yes.
Andy, I don't think he is. And here's why I don't think he is. Because I think the Bengals were trying to ramp him up with full practice on Wednesday and Thursday. He was technically limited today. I think they wanted to ramp him up for Thursday night in Baltimore because they don't want him playing twice in 5 days on a surgically repaired left big toe. That grade three sprain of turf toe was no joke. And I think they don't want to re-injure that or, God forbid, something associated with it, like perhaps an Achilles. You don't want to take that risk. And I think there is significantly more risk if you try to push it twice in 5 days in an NFL competition type of setting. So that's why I don't think he's going to play. You know, I think Zach Taylor said all the right things to us in his media availability this afternoon about, you know, Joe Burrow doing all the right things, working as hard as he can to get back. No decision has been made. He'll see how the next 48 hours play out. But if you read the tea leaves, read between the lines, I think it'll be Joe Flacco on Sunday.
Oh, geez. Way to suck all the air out of the balloon, Trags.
Yeah, I know. That's what I do.
No, I mean, logically, I think a lot of us wanted Joe Burrow to play mostly just because we wanted the theater of Joe Burrow trying to return triumphantly to save the Bengals season coming up against Drake May, you know, who's obviously hotter than a pistol and a firecracker right now. What's going on with the Bengals passing attack outside of a quarterback? Obviously, Flacco's had a great season, 12 touchdowns, 2 picks since he took over. What do you expect? So T. Higgins jumps to one, and then it's going to be a combination of everyone else filling in?
So it'll be Andre Yosivash at number two. And then somebody you should keep an eye on Sunday is Mitch Tinsley. Bengals love his attitude, love his work ethic. He flashed really well in the preseason, and I know preseason is the preseason, and he's only had 3 grabs for, I think, about 48 yards and a touchdown in the regular season so far. But trust is something that always comes up, whether it's with a quarterback or with the coaching staff. And both the quarterbacks that have played on this roster, Jake Browning and Joe Flacco, and obviously Joe Burrow, and the coaching staff, they all trust Mitch Tinsley when he gets on the field to be in the right place at the right time. So those are the guys you can look for: Higgins, Yosivash, and Mitch Tinsley on Sunday.
Trags, you know we can get obnoxious around here when we have a good quarterback, like we did for 20. Well, we have a good quarterback again. He's an MVP candidate.
Yeah, you do.
Is there any reason to think the Patriots aren't going to move the ball up and down the field against this Bengals defense that every category I look in, they rank near the bottom of the league?
There is absolutely no reason for you not to think that. Zero. They should move it up and down the field. I mean, you know, I said this flippantly, but the Patriots should fall out of bed Sunday morning at their hotel in Greater Cincinnati and score 35 points. I mean, there's just no reason not to do that because the Bengals just don't have any playmakers. Trey Hendrickson is out again on Sunday. They don't get to the quarterback. Their biggest problem is tackling. They cannot bring ball carriers to the ground. You saw what Darnell Washington did against the Bengals in that one play at the end of the first half on Sunday. Granted, you know, maybe a 300-pound tight end, but you do have Hunter Henry. He should have a massive game on Sunday. Travion Henderson, I'm an Ohio guy, loved watching him play for the Buckeyes, have really enjoyed watching him play for the Patriots. He and I heard you at the top of the segment, Ramondre Stevenson, both of them should have big days, not only on the ground, but in the short passing attack. Bengals linebackers cannot stop tight ends and running backs. So that's where I would expect Josh McDaniels to target coming into the game. We'll see how the perimeter passing game does. The Bengals do have 2 cornerbacks, guys, that are impressive, and I think probably the highlight of their defense, and DJ Turner and Dax Hill. But beyond that, there's not a lot to hang your hat on if you're a Bengals defender.
Jeez, Trags, I know you were here for a quarter century, but it sounded more like you were talking up the Patriots than actually presenting a case for the Bengals. And I understand because it's been such a disappointing season, and now seems like Burrow will be coming back only on Thanksgiving, probably too late to save the season as well. Get you out on this. If there's any way that the Bengals do hang in this game, it would be what?
Well, I think they get at least 2 turnovers, win the turnover margin by at least 2. You know, the two I mentioned, DJ Turner and Dax Hill, certainly capable of picking off a pass or two. And even their safety, Jordan Battle, who has not had a good year. He has a couple of interceptions. You know, what you don't want Drake May to do is what he did at the end of the first half of the Tampa Bay game, try to force a play where it's not there and throw it into the end zone and have it picked off, something like that. If that happens too much, or if Ramondre Stevenson, who the last time the Bengals beat the Patriots in 2022 on Christmas Eve, he fumbled, but the Bengals don't have Von Bell to punch the ball out this time. But things like that, that's about the only way I see the Bengals having a chance of upsetting the Patriots on Sunday.
All right, Trags, appreciate the insight. Have a enjoy the game on Sunday, and then have a happy Thanksgiving.
You guys as well. It's always great to be on with you folks back in Boston.
Great to have you back, buddy. Thanks, Trags.
That is Mike Petralia, CLNS in Cincinnati. Trags, former Boston guy, says Joe Burrow not going to play.
Trags got to cover four World Series, six Super Bowls when he was here. First year he goes out to Cincinnati. Bengals go to the Super Bowl, and since then, yeah.
Well,
that
know.
Sounds like that. Like all of a sudden we were like talking ourselves into, hey, Burrow's going to play. It might be a better... Sounds like Sunday's going to be a massacre.
Yeah, no, it sounds like the Patriots could roll. You can update your pick.
Can I change my pick?
Okay. Well, it's odds and ends late in the 5 o'clock hour.
Hours.
You get
okay.
time to fix right, that. Okay. Coming up next here on WEEI Afternoons, it's 3 o'clock. Ted joins the fun, and we have our three-point stances. And we're not supposed to tell you how to feel in our three-point stance. So why is The Athletic telling me who to root for among NFL quarterbacks? They're not allowed to do that, and I'm going to yell at them next in my three-point stance.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.